Thank you, John. This is probably the most fought over presentation in the whole conference. When we found out Venkata couldn't make it today, see, his visa does not allow him to travel to foreign countries, so he wasn't able to come to Louisiana. Dr. Parnell wanted to give this presentation, but he and I arm wrestled over it, and I won because I'm a Marine and he's an Army officer. And then I got here and John Wanura wanted to wrestle away from me, but he's already given a couple, so I won that fight. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Venkata's work. Dr. Parnell and I are co-authors, but this is a project that's been going on for several years, basically as a result of the increasing non-attainment for PM10 NACs in California and Arizona. The cotton harvesting operations have resulted in more increased scrutiny over the years as they've been identified as significant contributors of particulate matter emissions in California. This is based on AP42 emission factors and studies done by Flocchini at UC Davis using a box model, which has some problems and resulted in some emission factors which we thought needed some more examination. So as a result of funding from an interest from Cotton Foundation, Cotton Incorporated, and the cotton industry, we thought it'd be good to take a look at the emission factors from cotton harvesting operations. What we found out, Dr. Faulkner and some others determined a few years ago that emission factors are model specific. Depending on what model you use, you may end up with a different emission factor, and this is complicated by the fact that in 2006 the Environmental Protection Agency decided that they were going to prefer AIRMOD over ISDSD3 as their regulatory model of choice. This resulted in more widespread use of AIRMOD by different state air pollution regulatory agencies, the result being incorrect estimates of downwind concentration and therefore potential for inappropriate regulation. Dr. Wanura here in his dissertation was able to use two different cotton harvesters in the cotton field there near Texas A&M. He had a six-row picker and a two-row picker, one of which had an onboard GPS transmitter. He had these 21 different plots. Is this mouse working? Oh, we got a pointer. Just a pointer? Okay. There we go. Let me back up a second. He had these 21 different plots that he used in this field, some of which he harvested with the two-row picker and some which the six-row picker. He recorded meteorological data at a rate of 25 or quarter of a second per interval, and also we were able to track the six-row harvester with a GPS onboard transmitter. He also put different ambient samplers around the different plots that he harvested them, so we could collect it. We could collect TSP concentrations as well as PM10 concentrations co-located there. And he also wanted to do an examination of the particle size distribution so he could determine the MMD and GSD of the particulates that was emitted from these harvesters. The basically years of particulate matter work at CAICS, the Center of Agricultural Air Quality Engineering and Science, has produced a protocol for back calculating an emission factor using a dispersion model by taking a unit flux and the test met data and determining a downwind concentration and then comparing that to the measured concentrations and back calculating the required flux to match that measured concentration, which is how we determine the emission factor. So using this protocol, we took John's harvest data, his concentrations, and his met data, and Venkata took the met data and actually came up with 5-minute averages, and we modeled that using ISSDSD3 and AIRMOD. Now, AIRMOD requires more met data than we recorded, so we were able to use TCEQ counting back county data to come up with some of the other factors like albedo, Bowen ratio, and surface roughness, as well as Dr. Faulkner was able to derive some of the equivalent parameters we needed. And then we were able to determine the emission factors for the six-row plots as well as the two-row plots. And that's already been presented. I'm not going to spend a lot of time presenting those results. But Venkata is a bit of a perfectionist. He was not completely satisfied with that model, that it accurately reflected reality. The field is not emitting continuously over the whole field because you've got a harvester moving back and forth in that field. So he wanted to look at an alternate approach to increase the accuracy of the emission factors that we developed. The resources he had available to him was some very specific MET data, 4 times a second, as well as the GPS data, which tracked the path of that 6-row harvester. So what he did was he divided each plot into multiple line sources. What he conceptualized is, as the harvester moved along a line through the plot, he knew what time and what position it was at because of the GPS data, and we had the very specific MET data, so he could actually model this line, and that's what he did. He modeled each line sequentially as the by time and MET data as the harvester moved back and forth through the field, and then he summed the emission factors, and we compared that to what we used the previous work in our CAKES protocol, hopefully to get a more accurate depiction of what happened. Well, that's not exactly what occurred. What we found was, if you look at the 6-row harvester emission factors in terms of kilograms per square kilometer, my pointer again, John. There it is. Using the first method, TSP came out to be 568, and the Venkata method, our alternate method, 667, slightly higher, but really not statistically significantly different. It's within the standard error there, and those results are carried on through the measured FRM PM10 and the true PM10 and true PM 2.5. But I do want to look. I want to call your attention to the differences in FRM PM10 and true PM10, which is shown in these two columns. And I'm just going to compare 376 here to 154. You can see that the measured PM10 is still higher than the true PM10, which we determined through our particle size distribution. And that's just another verification of our assertion that the oversampling that Mary just talked about. And I also want to call attention to the true PM2.5 numbers, a very low number when compared to the overall TSP emissions. We're talking about, in both cases, in this model and in the alternate model, we're talking about 1% of overall TSP that is represented by PM 2.5 for a 6-row harvester. Looking at the 2-row harvester, you have about the same thing happen, although you don't have as large a difference in oversampling in PM10 with the FRM sampler from what we calculated in true PM10. Still, it's a significant oversampling, and you have a very low percentage of true PM10 down here in the right-hand column. Okay, let's look at some correlation between different variables during the harvesting and the emission factor. You can look at each one of these, but positive number indicates a positive correlation, and negative is negative correlation. If the first column there with yield, in terms of bales per acre, the higher the yield represented a higher emission factor, pretty much common sense there. And then over to the right, those last two columns, negative correlations with regard to moisture. Moisture in the seed cotton, higher moisture resulted in lower TSP emission factors, and higher soil moisture resulted in lower TSP emission factors as well. Those correlations also occur with PM10 to about the same degree. Now, this is what we really wanted to look at here, was the comparison of AirMod emission factors with ISS TSC3. And you look at the 6-row picker and the 2-row picker, you end up with in both modeling scenarios with AirMod, around 150-180 kilograms per square kilometer, compared to what ISTSC3 came up with was 81. So AirMod is getting about double what you came up with in the old model. Not quite as large a difference in the 2-row harvester, but still significant when you have about 322 in ISTSC3 and 400 or so in the AirMod scenario, in the AirMod models. John also had a source sampler on the picker where he came up with 55 kilograms per square kilometer you know, we, being a source sample, we have a, you know, we put a lot of faith in that number. And using ISC ST3, the emission factor was significantly higher, around 81, about 50% higher. But you look at AirMod, talking about three times as much, around 150 kilograms per square kilometer using AirMod. So we're seeing in all cases larger predictions by AirMod than ISC ST3. Okay, wrapping this up, our findings we feel are pretty significant. First of all, the idea that a more complex model using this moving line source would result in a more significant or more accurate emission factor did not really occur. So our finding there is, you know, the protocol that we have developed at CAKES is sound, and you can go to a lot of trouble, which Vincata did in doing that moving line source and summing those up using 5-minute averages, and you really didn't come up with much better or much different emission factor. Harvester size, a 6-row harvester had 3 times lower emissions than a 2-row harvester. Sampler bias, the PM10 emission factors were twice as high, again, as true PM10, so that's validates a lot of the other work we've done there at CAKES. Very low PM2.5 emission factors. If people ask you the contribution of PM2.5 from cotton harvesting operations, very, very low from a regulatory aspect. Still a lot of work to be done there, but that's a good finding. And as for model differences, AirMod emission factors are twice as high than the old model ISC ST3 emission factors for a 6-row harvester. So we're seeing, and that's really the takeaway from this presentation, as the regulatory agencies have moved away from ISC ST3 into AirMod, if you're using emission factors that were derived by the old model and you're applying them with the new model, you're going to have incorrect estimates of downwind concentrations and therefore inappropriate regulation of agriculture. A lot of people contributed to this over the years. I'd like to acknowledge them, and I'd like to thank you for your time. And Mr. Moderator, I yield back the balance of my time.
There's time for a few questions.
Russell, the comparison between the 6-row and the 2-row, 3x difference, does that imply that we're seeing a pretty big effect from wheel traffic, because you're making 3 times as many passes to get the same road covered? So is it a tractor tire or a tire issue that's stirring up dust from the tire traffic?
Yeah, we basically, it's pretty intuitive. You know, you're able to harvest 3 times as much. You're harvest 3 times as fast with your 6-row picker than your 2-row picker, which results in, you know, your 3 times difference. I believe that's what we determined. Any of my co-authors want to chime in on that?
Thanks.
That's about right.
Yeah, Army Lieutenant Colonel White might say one other thing. It actually took longer, and John knows this, for the 2-row to go to the same area that you did a 6-row, significantly longer than 3 times. But what California is doing right now is basically using a 3-to-1 based on that assumption that a 2-row will take X and therefore a 6-row will take 1/3 of X. So what this is, gives us confidence that's probably.
Does that answer your question? Okay.
All right. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you.